Please stand for the words and works of Jesus. The gospel this morning comes to us from the gospel according to St. Matthew in the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. No one knows which mountain it was exactly that Peter, James, and John climbed with Jesus when they saw the transfiguration. Some pretty smart people think it's Mount Hermon. That's the picture, that's the background right there of present-day Mount Hermon. It's a snow-capped mountain, and I try to imagine if that's the mountain it was, to think what it's like. You can go skiing there today if you really wanted and you had the money. Can you imagine what it must have been like to climb it with Jesus? Your lungs start to burn as the air gets a little bit thinner. Your sandaled feet get a little bit cold as the snow crunches underneath them. But the views are amazing. You can see for miles. And like most ventures into nature with 4 guys, there probably wasn't a lot of talking. It was more of a communal solitude where they reflected on things that were going on in their lives or what would have happened the week before. And as the gospel starts for us today, it says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. Well, six days before, Jesus had shared with the disciples a difficult teaching. He talked to Peter, and Peter confessed him as the Christ. And Jesus said, "Upon this confession that I am God, I'm going to build my church," which is a scary thing for Peter to think about. And if that wasn't enough, a few moments later, Jesus told him and the group around him that he was going to die. I wonder if the disciples were thinking about that as the snow crunched under their feet and they began to climb up the Mount of Transfiguration. I wonder if they remembered or if they forgot that Jesus didn't just say he was going to die, but that he was also going to rise again. They weren't always listening carefully when he spoke, but I would guess they were puzzled because the Messiah, the Christ, isn't supposed to die in their minds. And I wonder what Jesus was thinking as he led these 3 disciples, his favored disciples. What do you think he was batting around inside of his head? He was most likely, like always, consumed with doing his Father's will, but that most certainly led to some heavy thoughts because he knew what kind of work that meant in the coming months. He contemplated the burden of speaking the truth, of telling difficult things to people close to him, scolding his beloved disciples, leaving his family, going to Jerusalem for the last time. Maybe he didn't dread it like you and I would have, but I'm certain that the prospect of a trial and a crucifixion that he knew was coming, I'm sure it weighed heavy on his human heart. But up they went, short step by short step, leaving the bottom of the mountain behind. The Bible doesn't tell us if they made it to the top. It merely says that they were high up on the mountain. And Matthew states it very simply. There he was transfigured before them. Suddenly. He was nothing like he was before. His face was so bright and his clothes so spotless, the disciples couldn't even look at them for fear of burning their retinas. And if that weren't enough to see this image of Jesus as glorious, the two greats flanked him, Moses on one side and Elijah on the other, and there they spoke. This one, they must have been saying, this Jesus has come to fulfill what Moses and Elijah talked about. All the prophecies finding completion in Jesus. And Peter, James, and John saw it. And it was glorious. It was awe-striking and breathtaking. They were dumbstruck. And those worried thoughts that they were probably contemplating just a few moments ago about his death and about the difficult teachings he had, they probably weren't even a memory anymore. They forgot all about who Jesus was. And they saw who he actually was, the anointed. Can you even imagine? Any doubts about his nature as the Son of God immediately erased by this mere sight of him. And any hearts that wavered on account of his godness being hidden, those doubts were gone. Instead, their hearts were encouraged and filled. Jesus told them before that he was the Christ, and now with their eyes they've seen and they believe. They'd seen the signs. They'd seen the wonders. But this revelation and this wonder, this transfiguration, it seals the deal. Finally. Am I right? I bet Peter was so excited. This was the moment he's been waiting for. He'd been following Jesus around for like 2.5 years, and he was waiting for him to show himself as the Messiah, and it was finally here. He was going to revel in it. He was going to roll around in it like a dog rolls around in the mud. And he says, let's build some tents. Let's stay here. This glory is so great. And just as soon as those words spilled out of his mouth, a cloud covers them. And it's so scary. He and James and John fall face down to the ground, and they hear the voice of God himself say, this is my son, whom I love. I'm well pleased with him. Listen to him. And then they looked up and it was all over. Well, I guess that was it. That glory wasn't meant to last. How could it be, right? Moses and Elijah, they were right there. Where did they go? I mean, you all know because you've heard this story before. But didn't Peter, James, and John know it too? Jesus had told them he must suffer and die, and they had forgotten that. But now they know it's true. They weren't meant to stay on top of the mountain. They knew that the mission of the Messiah was a different one because he told them. And this question, it rattles in my head and I can't figure it out. But I ask, how could they forget? How could they forget everything Jesus had taught them? It hadn't even been a full week since Jesus told them he was going to die and rise again. They should have known it wasn't over. And if that forgetting that wasn't enough, it would only be a couple months and they'd forget again, but they'd forget that Jesus had revealed his glory. And it wouldn't be on top of this mountain, it would be on another mount, the Mount of Olives, and they'd hear the approaching tramp of soldiers' marching feet and they'd forget and their hearts would flutter and they'd run away. This transfiguration would seem not even to be a memory. An experience that didn't even faze their difficult hearts. And you? What's your mountaintop? That was great when it happened, but then you forgot. Was it a convincing proclamation of the gospel that convicted your heart and that the Holy Spirit worked through and allowed you to come to church for the first time? Was that your mountaintop? Was it the baptism of your child that was your mountaintop? Maybe your mountaintop is something like mine, where you're blessed with a loving spouse who in some way gives you just a glimpse of what heavenly love is supposed to be like, a selfless love between Jesus and the church. It's unfathomable. It's a divine object lesson for you, brothers and sisters. Maybe it was the first time you saw someone fully understand the plan of salvation. Isn't that a spiritual mountaintop? Isn't it? The words that before carried no meaning now carry full weight. Sin and grace, faith, sin, righteousness, slavery and freedom. Maybe the mountaintop was communion last week, where you received once again forgiveness of sins and a reminder that God loves you and wants you to grow and keep strong in your faith. Those are mountaintops, friends, like the transfiguration. Doesn't God show you his love and his forbearance there? Maybe it was the warm weather last week and you were reminded that even in February, cold February, God still loves you. But how soon did you forget about the warm weather and begin to complain once the snow crunched under your feet? Maybe it was like Peter, James, and John. You actually climbed a physical mountain, Zion National Park, a Rocky Mountain or something like that, and there you felt you communed with God. How soon till you forget, because like the Mount of Transfiguration, glory fades. It fades in unsuspecting ways. It fades in a surprise trip to the hospital. And you forget that God promised to send his angels concerning you. Maybe it's a persistent temptation. And you forget that Jesus promised that you would bear crosses. Maybe it's a tiff between you and a family member or another Christian, and you forget that we're all members of the same body, the body of Christ. You see, we forget. We experience the glory like Peter, James, and John. We catch the brief, glorious glimpses of who God is and what he allows us to see on this earth, but then we forget. But what's most surprising about the story of Transfiguration is not that Peter, James, and John forgot about the glory on the mountain, or that Peter forgot about these teachings of Jesus. What's most surprising is not that you and I, who can see the full plan of salvation as it's revealed to us in the Bible, what's surprising isn't that we can forget it, or that it's insanely easy for us to memorize the Bible passages that are key, but we still don't do it, and we forget the ones we should. That's not what's surprising. What will truly bend your mind and shock you is the better that you know God, it's not that you forget, it's that Jesus remembers. Jesus never forgot why he was here. He was not tempted for even a single moment to stay in his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. He never forgot his mission, and his mission was not to climb up to a mountainside and stay in three tents with Moses and Elijah and Peter, James, and John and revel in this heavenly glory in his divine prerogative revealed. He never wavered or found himself tempted to stay glorified on top of some mountain. He remembered that glory here on earth is always going to be a fleeting thing. He remembered that his love was compelled by the love of a father that is unwilling to lose his forgetful people. And as he stretched out his arms on the cross, he did not forget a thing. He remembered you, and he stayed up there because he knew that was the plan for the Son of God to save the world. He heard the cry of the thief, and he promised to remember even him. He never forgot. Us? We forget. But Jesus knows everything. He knows everything that he's taught you and blessed you with. He knows your baptism because he was there. He knows and remembers every tough lesson revealed in the pages of Scripture. He knows everything you wrestle with. He knows is the glimpses of godly love that you've briefly caught in your life, in your marriage relationships, or at your church. He knows you personally, and he knows that you sometimes forget these things. And that's why he gives us the Transfiguration. It's to remind us. We who are here in the trenches of life, stuck in the mud and the muck, not on a mountaintop somewhere, he gives us glimpses of his love because we forget. So we, with Peter, James, and John, were comforted and we're reassured. We go to the mountain, and we go there because we forget. We go there and we catch that glimpse that flies away before we can fully take it all in. And we're reminded that that God, the same God who's always been with his people and that I'm tempted to forget about, we're reminded that he's here. And we see him in the cloud and it strikes fear, but we find him in his word and it reveals this plan that is love. And we see that this kingdom of God fully and clearly and permanently won't be revealed until Jesus comes back again. We come to church and we taste it and we see it in the Lord's Supper and we hear it as the water splashes in the baptismal font. We catch that glory. And then we leave and we forget. And then we come back to the mountain because we need to be reminded. And when that happens, when you forget, take comfort in the Jesus of Transfiguration. You know, sometimes we forget not just the glory, but we forget the mission too. And it's important to come to church to be reminded of that as well. It's not just about us up here on the mountain of Salem. It's not just coming to church for 1 hour a week to experience the glory of God. We have to go down from the mountaintop too. Just like a ship is safe in a harbor, a Christian is safe in church. But ships aren't meant to stay in harbors and Christians aren't meant to stay in churches. So we go down from the mountain. We go out from church to where people are. And we tell them all about Jesus who would never forget. We tell them about Jesus who didn't stay on a mountain, but who instead died in service to his mission of saving the world. The next 6 weeks, friends, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be very easy to forget because Lent starts on Wednesday, and it's going to be easy to forget about the glory of Jesus on the mountain and instead only see him flogged and beaten and hung on a cross. The next 6 weeks, we'll walk slowly with Jesus up to that hill shaped like a skull. And it'll be easy to forget the joy you felt when you first heard the good news. It'll be easy to lose yourself in your own self-pity and repentance. When that happens, remember the voice of God from the cloud. This one here, the one flogged and beaten, he is the one loved by God. Listen to him. And as long as we walk the long Lenten road, we don't forget the suffering and death is just God showing us he loves us. Don't forget. Instead, remember the crunching snow, the breathtaking views will all be a memory soon. Hopefully the snow outside will be a memory too. It's all temporary, but listen to Jesus and remember the non-stop glory in store for those he remembers. That's you and that's me. Amen.